We'll have you pull out your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And I want to talk tonight about moving on after you've been forgiven. Or moving on after forgiveness. We've seen in David's life what has happened. We could call it a tragedy, because it is a tragedy. Anytime sin wreaks havoc in somebody's life, it's a tragedy. We've seen the adultery, the deceit, and the murder. Just like James, what James said, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. We see a picture of that in what happened with David. And we've seen the aftermath. There was agony on David's part. He mentions that in Psalm 32 and also Psalm 51, how that sin troubled his psyche. And he was just a mess. And then there was the confrontation. Nathan the prophet comes to him. And we saw there in verses 1 through 14 how that he was confronted about his sin, and a conviction was brought there in verse number 7 as Nathan points that bony finger in his face and says, "Thou art the man." And then there was confession there in verse 13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now that's more than just a simple statement. You know, a lot of folks just think, well, you know, they'll sin and they'll go say, "Well, I sinned against the Lord." And they take a flippant attitude in that statement. That's not a flippant attitude that we see in David. We see hardcore conviction that was wrought in his life. And he talks about having a contrite heart over in Psalm 51. This may sound like a simple statement, but there was a lot of things going on in his life that brought him to that point of conviction and confession. And then thankfully, there was forgiveness there in verse 13. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Even though under the law he deserved to die, God gave him grace. Gave him and Bathsheba both grace. And they lived. So there was confession, there was forgiveness, but there were also consequences. Verses 10 through 12 talk about those consequences that were going to come. Some were present. The death of the child took a week. I mean, the child immediately fell sick. And then a week later, the child died that was conceived in the adulterous relationship. And then there were some things that were going to happen in David's house. He said the Lord told him that the sword would never depart from his house, and that he would raise up evil out of his own house. And just some other things that are there, and we saw the consequences. In fact, we're going to see how the consequences of David's sins are going to reverberate from this point forward in the book of 2 Samuel. From this point, you'll see the trials of David, all of this playing itself out. And the Lord was true to His Word. Now, we saw as we ended last time how that the Lord struck the child with sickness that was conceived from the adulterous relationship between David and Bathsheba. And though David fasted and he wept and he prayed for God to spare the child, the Lord took the child in death on the seventh day of his sickness. Now, I want to pause here for a minute before we move forward, and I want us to examine God's grace in the matter of what happened to this child. Okay? Just think about God's grace. We see God's grace displayed in His faithfulness to His Word. God did exactly what He told David He would do. That's important. Verse number 14, He said, Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. That was what God told him. And that's exactly what happened. God was faithful to His Word. And I want you to get this, because this is important. You need to understand this. God's faithfulness in His chastisement and in His judgment should give us hope, should give us a sure expectation of His faithfulness in other matters. When we see God faithful, when we sin, God brings about chastisement. He tells us that, you know, if you sin, He's going to bring chastisement in your life. That ought to encourage you. I know many times we get discouraged, but it ought to be an encouragement. God follows through on His Word. And what if God had not carried through on His part of the consequences of David's sin? You think He might have thought that He could get off from the other consequences? You know, suppose God let the child live. Well, David might have thought, well, you know, maybe that stuff's not going to happen too. It could have happened that way. You think He might have had a lax attitude towards sin? I think in God carrying through this, He saw the egregious nature of the sin that he had sinned, and he sees God's grace in even doing what he did. Another thing is we see God's grace displayed in his taking of this child. I'm talking about God's grace toward the child. You know, a lot of folks would look at this and say, well, why did God take it out on the child? Wait. Don't think in that way. Think about it as being a part of God's grace. This child was innocent of the adultery of his parents. I agree. I mean, he had no say-so in the matter that mom and dad came together when they shouldn't have came together. He had nothing to say, no part in that. This child was protected, though. You think about if he had to grow up as being a child that was born in adultery. Think about it. He was protected from the talk that possibly would have swirled around him, the bullying, or whatever might go on. This child was protected from the sword that was going to come in David's family. Think about it. God saved this child from that sword that he mentioned there in verse number 10. The fighting in the family. This child was protected from a lifetime of who knows what. This child was taken immediately into the Lord's presence. No more further sickness, no more further sorrow. Not having to deal with life that came as a result of sinful consequences. This child was protected safe in the arms of God. And David understood that, according to verse number 23, there when he said, "But now he is dead," talking about the child, "wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" He said, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." So he saw that the child was protected safe in the arms of God. And that's what happens to children who die. What we would call before their time. Well, it's not really before their time. It's in God's time. While we were in Tennessee, and every time we go now, I walk up to the hill. Up on the hill is a cemetery with the one grandchild that we never got to know. One that is buried up in the cemetery river. And go up there, and and I know that River is in God's hands, and one day we'll see River. And I think about, while I was up there, I was thinking about that, you know, the child's not having to go through what the other children have to go through in this world. I mean, this world's getting more wicked by the hour. It's just unreal. But we see God's grace displayed in His taking of this child. So, to get to the message tonight, how did David choose to move on after the Lord forgave him? That's what we want to look at tonight. And really pay attention to this, because I'm afraid that a lot of folks, they get stuck. They've sinned. There's some consequences that they face. They get upset with God sometimes over the consequences, or get stuck in their life thinking, you know, their life is basically over. God's going to never use them again. Rather than moving on in their relationship with God. Yes, David messed up. Yes, Bathsheba messed up. They sinned. They sinned egregiously. But they were forgiven, and it was time for them to move on. First, I want you to see there in verse 20, he moved on by not staying down on himself. Verse number 20, David arose from the earth. He's been praying for the child. We know he's been fasting, you know, not eating. He's been really not taking care of himself, fasting and praying. But here we see in verse 20, after the child died, David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Now, we see here that he moved on by not staying down on himself. He got up and went forward with life. Sadly, many folks get down on themselves and they stay there. Some have gotten down on themselves, and that's where they're at tonight. They're still down on themselves. And when you do that, it leads to never being effective for the Lord again. And many folks in that boat live a joyless life, full of depression, full of anxiety, full of self-pity. Listen, don't be like that. Don't be like that. After receiving forgiveness from God, don't let the reaping of consequences of your sin keep you down and away from living your life as God would have you live. Was God done with David? No. Not by any stretch of the imagination was he done with David. No doubt, David battled some very deep emotions. Quite possibly, even some depression here. Very soon, there came a time to move on. Now listen, don't let the weights and sins of the past keep you from getting up and moving forward for the Lord. I mean, if the Lord was done with David, he would have taken David home. Am I right? He would have. Now listen, if the Lord was done with you, you wouldn't be here. He'd have taken you out too. The very fact that you're still here, the Lord has something for you. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So listen, folks, there's still a race to run. David still had a race to run, and it was the Lord's race. And yes, he stumbled and fell while he was running the race. You ever see somebody stumble and fall and get back up? I think it was in this past Olympics. There was somebody who stumbled and fell, and they got back up, and they actually won the race. They didn't just stay there laying down on the ground. They got back up, and they finished the race. Get back up and finish the race that God's given you. Hold your place there. Look at Philippians chapter number 3 for just a minute. I'm going to have you turn to a lot of places tonight, but I do have a couple of places. Philippians 3. Verse number 13 and 14. Now, understand this. The Apostle Paul writing this. He's writing it from a Roman prison. And has he had some difficulty in his life? He most certainly has. He says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." See, there's some things that are to be left behind. Forget some things that are to be forgotten. Suppose Paul had hung on to the frustrations that he had in the ministry? You think that would have been a weight to him? Yeah. What about failures? Did he experience any failures? He's human, isn't he? We're all human. We're all going to face some failures. Don't hang on to it. You need to forget those things that are behind. You learn from the failures. Move forward. He had to learn to let go of fears. Most of us fear failure. We fear falling down. But we need to reach for some things. We need to have a vision of what God wants us to do. And to move forward by faith in our lives. Now, the very fact that David was still living and breathing was an indication that God wasn't through with him yet. And if he had gotten down on himself in a bad way and stayed that way, what use would it have been for him and those around him? No use at all, right? Yeah. He moved on by not staying down on himself. He got up and went forward with life. Second thing. He moved on by not getting down on God. We see there in verse 20, chapter 12, 2 Samuel, verse 20, that he did what? It says that he worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord again. Worship is something he was acquainted with. He could have let this incident steal his worship, couldn't he? There's a lot of folks who have. I mean, he didn't get an attitude against the Lord. There in verse 22, notice in verse 22, and he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me?" He didn't have an attitude against God. He was looking for God to be gracious. And, listen, God was gracious to him. Though it wasn't in the way that David prayed. David prayed for the child to live. God let that child die, but he gave him another child. Solomon, the one that would assume the throne. Out of the married relationship now between David and Bathsheba. The other was conceived in an adulterous relationship. This one was conceived in a marriage relationship. So he didn't get an attitude against the Lord. He didn't quit going to the house of the Lord. Notice verse 20 again. It says that he came into the house of the Lord. He didn't quit going to church, did he? He didn't quit going to the house of the Lord. I know he didn't have church, but he had the temple, had the tabernacle. But listen, some folks just quit on the Lord. They quit going to the house of the Lord. Listen, that only compounds your problems. You say, but, you know, I'm afraid what folks down there are going to look, how they're going to look at me. Does that keep you from going to the hospital? You go to the hospital, people got people, all kinds of conditions there, and you're afraid of how they're going to look at you and your condition? Hospital is a place where people get help at, isn't it? And all people that are there are trying to get help in some way. Think of this as a hospital for spiritually sick folks. Amen? And we all have problems. We all have problems. But don't let that keep you from going to the house of the Lord. It's going to just compound your problem if you do. So he didn't get an attitude against the Lord. He didn't quit going to the house of the Lord. He didn't quit worshiping. The Lord is worthy of our worship even when we're not worthy of Him. And that's what His grace, listen, grace is unmerited favor. That's what His grace is for. None of us are worthy of Him. But He's worthy of our worship, even when we're not worthy of Him. And I'm sure David felt unworthy. Don't you? I mean, he failed miserably. We would say, man, that was a bad mess up, David. Yeah, it was. But he got beyond it. And you may have some bad mess ups in your life, but get beyond it. And get back to where you need to be at with the Lord. So, he moved on by not staying down on himself. He got up and went forward. He moved on by not getting down on God. He worshiped the Lord again. Third thing, he moved on by resting in the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 23. Resting in the faithfulness of God. That last phrase there. He said, he's talking about the child that the Lord took. He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He said, where do you see the faithfulness of God at there? Well, David knew God would take care of his baby who had died. Right? That's what he's saying there. He went to be with the Lord. Again, don't think that God was being mean to this innocent little baby. No, God was being gracious even in this portion of his chastisement of David and Bathsheba. God was being gracious. And second thing, David knew God had forgiven him and that he would see his baby again. So you see, he knew what God had done with the baby and he knew where he was going. That's two of the things you can draw out of that, just that one little phrase right there. I shall go to him. I'm going to heaven. David said, I'm going to be with the Lord one of these days, but he shall not return to me. He's there. He's not going to come back here, but I'm going to him where he's at. So, he moved on by resting in the faithfulness of God. Listen, look at 1 Corinthians 6 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians 6. You need to grab a hold of it. Remember, the Corinthian Christians were involved in all kinds of junk that they shouldn't have been involved in. And what does the Apostle Paul do? He reminds them there in 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And probably some of those folks go, and we do that in our own soul when we read that, don't we? Hey, I used to be there. You used to be there too. And that's what he reminds them. He says, and such were some of you. But remember, he said, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, folks, we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified by the Lord. What a blessing. So he moved on by resting in the faithfulness of God. Number four thing I want you to see is he moved on by comforting others with the comfort wherewith he was comforted. Look at verse 24. Back in our text. 2 Samuel 12:24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Okay, he comforted his wife. Is that important? Yeah. Plus, you read in the Psalms, he comforted a lot of other people too. Amen? I mean, this was a man that had sinned egregiously, but he received forgiveness. He knew the mercy and grace of the Lord, didn't he? But he didn't just keep it to himself. He moved on by comforting others with the comfort wherewith he was comforted. And that's what 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 tells us that we need to do in our lives. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Last thing here. As David just moved on with his life. He moved on by getting on with his life. There in verse 24, he comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and then he gets on with life. And he went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. He called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And we see him getting on with life. We'll read some of these other verses here in just a minute. But we see here that God gave David and Bathsheba another son. They had been forgiven. But this first of the consequences was most difficult on them with the death of their son. We see the Lord allowed them to have another son whom they named Solomon. Okay? She bare a son and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord, it says, then the Lord loved him. Now, the name Solomon means peace or peaceable. And I'm thinking when he named his son that, he knew that he was once again at peace with the Lord. He was at peace with the Lord. I mean, he knew the turmoil of being in sin, having unconfessed sin in his life, but he's got peace now. The Bible says here in verse 24 that the Lord loved him, talking about Solomon, this new baby. And then the Lord sent the prophet Nathan with an additional name for the child there in verse 25. Look at verse 25. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Now the name Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. So the Lord loved him, and the Lord said, hey, he's Jedidiah. He's my beloved. So here's something that we may not fully understand, and we may even have difficulty coming to grips with it. The next king of Israel was born to Bathsheba, the woman whom David committed adultery with. Now, some people are going to have a problem with that. But understand that with the confession and repentance, the adultery was behind them now. The adultery was behind them. They were now husband and wife with a clean slate. And it was wrong for David to commit adultery with Bathsheba. There's no two ways about it. It was wrong for David to have Bathsheba's husband killed and then take her in to be his wife. Again, there's no two ways about it. He was wrong on both counts. But afterward, they've received forgiveness. What David done displeased the Lord. We know that. It says that the very last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 11, said, when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Very clear. It displeased the Lord. But the Lord forgave David, and it's implied in these chapters that Bathsheba also received the Lord's forgiveness. I mean, there could be no comforting her unless she received forgiveness. But without forgiveness in her life, there was no comfort to be had, was there? So now the Lord opened up her womb again, and she bore this child who is obviously loved and favored of the Lord, and who ultimately becomes the next king of Israel. Now we know that Solomon, it's not going to be perfect. Now, he would also have his problems with women, following somewhat in the footsteps of his father. But remember, Solomon would have never been born if David had not married Bathsheba. The first child was conceived while in an adulterous relationship, but this child was conceived in marriage. So think about this with me now. God took something bad. I'm talking about the sin. Well, all that came about in that David and Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite thing, that was bad. God took something bad, and then after His forgiveness was applied, He brought something good out of it. Okay. I don't know what there is in your life tonight. You look back at it and you say, man, that was bad. But listen, God can take... If you find that place of forgiveness, confession, repentance, and forgiveness, get His forgiveness, He can bring something good out of it. If God did that for Bathsheba and David, remember, He can do that for us too. God can take our mess ups and He can bring something good out of them, right out of the midst of them. Now, some of the consequences of our sin are still going to be there with us, and we're still going to have to live with them, and we're going to see that in David's life. but we can still know God's grace even in the midst of those consequences. So he moved on by getting on with his life. God gave David and Bathsheba another son, but I want you to see, last of all, God gave David and Israel victory again. Look at verse 26 through 31, and we'll close. Verse 26, and Joab fought against Raba of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Raba and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. David gathered all the people together and went to Raba and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. I read somewhere where that the weight of that thing was like 28 pounds sitting on his head. I don't know if that be the case or not. But it says, and he brought forth people that was therein, put them under saws and under harrows and under iron, under axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. Thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. What do we see David doing? David got on with life. And God blessed him. God gave him victories. So why are you in defeat when you could be having victory? Amen? God wants us to live in victory. And it's available. But you've got to move on after the forgiveness. You can sit there and wallow. If you don't, like, sheep don't wallow. Yeah. Remember that. Sheep don't wallow. Just get up. Just move forward for the Lord. All right. That's our Bible study for tonight. Let's pull out the prayer list. We'll pray for the needs here. And we'll be dismissed.